and a very good Monday morning to you. We do rebroadcast this show a few times because it's just so good. It's called A Finer Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor. Adam being I, Adam Lepp, purveyor of politics, information technology, and whatever else I feel needs to be talked about. And along with me, as we often have, is Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, our official presidentologist and historical scholar here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. One little secret, though, Ron, and again, thanks for being with us on this.
Thank you so much. I'm great to be with you again.
Infamous program. We are taping Sunday evening, so with the way the world's going right now, Ron, I'm sure there will be two newspapers worth of news between now and our original airtime of 13 minutes after 10 in the a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday, June 29th. But we'll just talk about what has transpired up until the time that this program is being taped. Well, I guess it's kind of like recorded on digital media. They don't really use cassette tapes or carts anymore, but whatever you want to call it, we are talking approximately 15 hours prior to the actual airtime. Earlier today, Ron, in fact, if your vocal cords seem a little bit tired, it's a very legitimate excuse. You were on with Gwen Holden Berry and Wayne Johnson and the other guy, whose name is Jack Jodell. I actually remembered that.
Wasn't on because he's not feeling well, so he was not on.
Jack Jodell wasn't feeling well. Okay, well, please send along. You were supposed to giggle at that. Please send along my best wishes for a healthy recovery. They're on Blog Talk Radio, which is pretty much a competitor of this station, but it's a friendly competition. We actually encourage people to listen and watch other talk media, as we're all in this together. We're on the same team. We're on the same team as Blog Talk Radio, as newspapers, as other podcasts and other talk stations, and I feel we actually nurture each other. So on that program, Ron, called Here Be Monsters, which is a name I never fully understood, but it's kind of amusing, so I kind of like it. As if our listeners don't already know, Gwen and Wayne are very to the left. I have actually said that. In the case of Gwen, she kind of makes you look like Mike Pence. That is, you are left-leaning.
I don't know about that.
And a traditional Democrat, but more of an old-school Democrat. They're very left-leaning.
Biden, Hubert Humphrey Democrat. That's I am, yes.
Sometimes I kind of question how they feel about this great country. But, you know, freedom of speech is one of the greatest things about the country. So their opinions, well, Gwen's opinions, are very much respected and appreciated. We will not comment on Wayne at this time. But anyway, Ron, during that program, which we encourage our listeners to listen to, go to blogtalkradio.com, look up Here Be Monsters, which aired at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, the 28th of June. And give a listen, as well as the archives, because Ron is on a lot of the time. Did you guys gossip about me by chance? I always kind of wonder about that, or did you just talk politics in general?
Your name does not show up. I don't bring it up. I don't think it's appropriate to bring you in, unless they brought it up, but they have not, no.
So was the talk about what you might want to call mask gate? Because masks have become a pretty hot topic.
And about masks, more about the issue of the fact that Trump knew about the Putin working with the Taliban to kill American or UK soldiers and says he doesn't know anything about it, and it's becoming a big issue of treason right now, a really big thing, and he's trying to deny it. And also the white power statement that was made at the Villages community in Florida, and how he posted and then said he hadn't heard them say white power. There's never a day or two goes by that something isn't said or done by Trump that causes a controversy. So we're talking about that, and we're also talking about the move to end Obamacare suddenly in the middle of a pandemic, even if it's not great, to just end it and have no alternative. So that's the major thing we were talking about.
So it would be safe to say that the three of you are all dislikers of the President Donald J. Trump. That would be accurate.
Well, the word dislike is not strong enough.
Now, on this show and on shows with the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, you have on occasion indicated that there are actually things that you agree with Donald Trump on. One item that came up, which you have a strong agreement, is the woman who joined ISIS, and Donald decided to remove her citizenship.
But that's not being with Trump. It's just being against what that woman did. That's all. That's not really being pro-Trump, though. I wouldn't go that far.
Right. I'm not saying it's in favor of Donald. It's a decision that he made. We have, for example, I agree with many of the far-left people on the very controversial topic of abortion, where I am extremely far to the left. But in many things, you know, I'm to the right or I'm kind of in the middle. I think a lot of my views are nonpartisan. But, you know, since I knew what abortion was, I have been in favor of not abortion per se, just a woman's right to choose under the category
of... I'm not in favor of abortion, right. But I don't think a woman should know what to do. I prefer to have fewer, of course.
Right. Yeah. Keep your laws off my body and not outlawing it, not sending doctors or mothers to jail if they choose to be a party to one. And that would be considered a left-wing view, but I consider it to be a human view. I never really understood why there was so much divisiveness on that, but I'll never understand a lot of things in politics, and life's too short to worry about it. But that's an example where I would agree with very left-leaning politicians. AOC might be an example, and I imagine Gwen and Wayne and Jack, of course yourself, would also be in agreement with me. But on other things, economy, immigration, we may not see eye to eye, although in your case, we see partially eye to eye. But I guess that's what makes things fun. If we all agree, the world would be a pretty boring place. In terms of Donald Trump, the ISIS woman who lost her citizenship because she joined that horrible terrorist organization, you agreed with Donald's decision, and many people didn't. Many people felt that he was being too harsh, that you shouldn't not have a country to call home, but I would say you join ISIS, you are never welcome in this country. Stay the you-know-what away from the great United States as long as possible. Never come back. Don't even think about coming back. Zero tolerance, and that I think is being rather generous, and I'm glad that you agree with Donald on that. And thing, you know, Donald, he may have an unusual way of showing it, but he does love his country. Again, whether you agree with the way that he...
I think he loves money and his ego more than anything, to be honest.
Yeah, whether or not you agree with the way that he shows his love for his country, well, that's a different matter. Rod is the publisher of the blog, which he's been doing for 11-plus years, called theprogressiveprofessor.com. And we encourage you to read it. If you don't agree with it, go get some rotten eggs and throw them at your computer screen or your phone, because as Americans, you have a right to do that. You can also reply to Ron, send him an email or a message on Facebook or Twitter. Your dialogue is always welcome. And we actually, Ron, have not discussed much of your blog in a while, as we've kind of talked about these controversial topics, coronavirus, the riots, the racism issue, etc. I've probably talked a little more than I should, so on this show we'll try to have a little more equity in terms of who talks and what we talk about. A topic that's a bit controversial but not as heated, not as sensitive as the aforementioned issues, is the statehood for the District of Columbia. Now, that is near and dear to you, as that's where your son, David, hangs his hat, or he lives in the D.C. metro area.
Now, he actually lives in Bethesda, but he works in D.C., yes.
Right, the suburb. Yeah. Now, D.C.
Well,
is unique.
Home the last few months. He's not actually out of the house. He stays at home and does everything on Zoom. Yeah.
D.C. is unique, and you would know better than I would, Ron, in that it is an independent city, whereas we think of other countries. Let's look at the two countries that border the United States. Their capital is inside of a state or a province. Canada has provinces, and a province and the state are basically the same thing as far as I know. And Mexico has, I believe, states.
Yeah.
Some countries don't have states, or they're kind of like several nations together, like the United Kingdom. But you know, we have Germany with its capital. We have the United Kingdom with London, but Scotland and Northern Ireland and Wales, they have their own capital. So it's a little more complicated. You know, Canberra in Australia.
There's talk of them breaking away, Scotland particularly.
You know, other countries, you know, Lagos in Nigeria, Tehran in Iran. Sometimes in countries like Israel, there's controversy as to exactly which city is the capital, but at least there is a capital. And in each case, it's not an independent city without a state. Or if the country doesn't have states or provinces, that wouldn't really be applicable. Canada, again, is very traditional. in that their capital of Ottawa, which I probably mentioned is about 90 miles from where I went to college, so it was the closest major city. It's the capital of the country. It's not the largest city in the country or even in the province of Ontario. Toronto is much bigger than Ottawa and Montreal.
I really like Toronto.
Also a big city. But it's part of Ontario, but it's the capital, but it's not independent without a state like D.C. And Mexico, of course, the enormous city of Mexico City being the capital. And it,
Actually, D.C. is not really independent. It's dependent, actually, on the U.S. government because it gets its funding from the U.S. government, but it does not have any right to have a senator and two senators and a house.
It doesn't have the state presence, and Ottawa being the best example, and that's one that's I'm familiar with because I went to school so close to Ottawa. We would often go there to go out or do other things that would be of fun, collegiate level activities. You probably know, Ron, the license plates of D.C. are very sarcastic. They say taxation without representation, which is essentially what they have. And that's kind of where the problem is. People live in Canada with a bit of a quasi-socialist government. I wouldn't call it the socialism of Scandinavia, but it has some socialist qualities more than the United States. They have the value-added tax, the national sales tax, which pays for their health insurance, which, as we probably know, is quite different from what we have here in the United States. So people who live in Ottawa, they pay taxes like other members, other citizens or residents of the great province of Ontario. Ottawa borders Quebec, and Hull in Quebec is one of the most predominant suburbs. And it's kind of different because in Canada, people in Quebec generally speak French. Many also speak English, but French is the main language. I can speak from my own experience. And in Ontario, especially if you're in Ottawa or you're near Quebec, people often are bilingual, but English is the official language. And you go into Western Canada, Edmonton or Vancouver, people pretty much just speak English. But French is a language that people are familiar with. It's also a large
country. It's very, very big country. Not as much a population, but it's very large and very fascinating because it's got such diversity.
Right. And Toronto is one of the most diverse cities in the world. It reminds me a bit of Chicago in the way that it's laid out and the way the diversity runs. A large Asian population in pretty much all the major Canadian cities. And for me,
I must say that when I went in the past to Canada, I found that in the airport, as you're going through customs, I swear, I always thought, is this China or Japan? Because there were so few people who were like me. Most people were Asian background. I said, wow, I never saw so many people. On the airport, even 20 years ago, when to Toronto, I was shocked by it.
People like myself, aficionados of Asian food. Toronto is a good place to go. My mom, again, also a lover of Asian food. She loves Toronto. We used to live in Rochester, which isn't far from there. So we would love going there as a family. And so, the great diversity of the country of Canada. But again, Ottawa, people who live there are, I guess, Ontarians or Ontario province residents. So they pay the taxes and get the services associated with that province, plus the national services that are more substantial than we, at least from a health and taxation level, than we have here. But in the United States, it's different. People who live in D.C., they have an address which looks like a state, Washington, D.C., but they're not in a state. They're an independent city. And the autonomy is, if that's the best word to use, it is very different. I believe you would know, Ron, there's one representative from D.C., but that person is just a voice, not really a voter. There's no.
I live in the Holmes Norton. She's been there for like 30 years of a congressperson.
Right, and there's no senator. So there is taxation without representation, which I don't think is fair. Personally, I don't think D.C. should just be an independent city and state. I think it should be absorbed by Virginia or Maryland. Yes, I do like the idea of an even number of states, 50. 51 just seems kind of goofy if you want my opinion.
I think a new flag. There's
the idea that a city and the state are all the same place, that just doesn't seem like the way we organize this country. But I do agree D.C. does need to have representation if it does have taxation. If you, Have you thought, Ron, about that alternative where D.C. would be part of Maryland or Virginia? Or do you think it should just be on its own?
And my son says that the people in D.C. don't want to be part of Maryland or Virginia. If you took a vote, they want that. They would be the state of New Columbia, is what they call themselves. New Columbia, like New Mexico, New York, City, New Columbia. UBIA.
Yeah, D.C. has its own city government. They have a mayor. They have city services, but there's no state services, and these national services are kind of murky because of the way they're taxed, but yet the way that they're not represented. Bottom line is, Ron, from what you've observed and what your son has told you, and he's certainly right there in the mix, D.C. doesn't want to become part of Maryland or Virginia. They want to be their own state with only one city, where the state and city are all the same thing. So that's pretty
except that David said that there would be a 2-square-mile area which would include the government building, the White House, the Capitol building, the Supreme Court, and all the different departments, all within a 2-square-mile area, and that would be a separate area. But everything else in Washington, where people actually live, because almost nobody lives in the area of the buildings, would be the state of New Columbia.
So it would almost be like the Vatican City, where there's this small part of Rome that's a separate country where the Pope lives and where the Catholic Church is headquartered. Not a perfect analogy, but you kind of get the idea. It would be landlocked. And so you're saying the White House would not be part of New Columbia? It would be an independent government-owned and controlled area?
It would be if the district from the state of New Columbia, yes, well, UMBIA, and include all the government buildings, the Department of the Interior, the Department of Cabinet Agencies, White House, Supreme Court, Capitol Hill, Federal Trade Commission, all those different buildings that are mostly within about a 2-square-mile area in the middle. So it's not an area where people live, other than like the president, but basically it's not an area of housing.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I don't know. I'm still kind of in favor of having it become part of Maryland. I would say Maryland more than Virginia, just because it is a smaller state. And just Maryland is...
It's also blue, like D.C. is. Well, Virginia has become, but Maryland's very blue, so probably if you had to put it somewhere, D.C. people would probably prefer Maryland, yes.
Yeah, and that Maryland, too, it has an interesting shape. It has the island area. Annapolis, its capital, is very small, whereas in Virginia, Richmond is the largest city, and the state is much more area.
And it's an area of monuments. That was Richmond. Oh, God.
Actually, I think, again, without doing a Google, I think Virginia Beach may actually be bigger. But they're the two big cities, whereas Baltimore is much, much bigger than Annapolis or pretty much anywhere else.
Yeah.
And with D.C.
Richmond is a real center of controversy now with the Monument Row there. I've seen it years ago. Oh, yeah.
D.C. would be a bit like Ottawa in Canada, where it's one of the largest cities. If it were part of Maryland, it would be one of the largest cities in the state, but it wouldn't be the state capital. It would be the national capital. Again, Toronto is by far the largest city in the province of Ontario. And I should know this, but I'm pretty sure that the second largest city in Ontario is Ottawa, but Toronto is just much bigger, and the suburbs are enormous. So it'd be kind of like it is in Canada, which might be a good example. So we'll see. You did write about this, Ron, in your blog.
Never happened in a Democratic Senate, but even then, unless they change the filibuster rules and they need 60 votes, they're never going to have it happen. So he doesn't really believe it's going to happen anytime soon. But it's a statement of a purpose. And there was once an amendment that was passed in the 70s. To try to make one a state, but it failed to get maybe 38 states, so only got like 8 or 9. And he said it would never get an amendment to do it; it would have to be by legislation and all the filibuster of the Senate to bring it about.
Yeah, one interesting thing about D.C. and this has changed because D.C., as I remember as a kid, was at least 2/3 black, and it has become much more even. It's actually, right, it's 47% black and 45% white. Oh, it's about half and half. And that I think, is a good way to that's a good demographic. That's a good demographic mix for the capital city, because we are a country built on diversity. And that further shows, again, D.C. being a good capital city in terms of its location and its own demographics. But being an independent city with this taxation without representation is an issue. I never fully understood it as a kid, and so I continue to giggle when I see those license plates. So I think we do need a change of some kind, but you're kind of writing, Ron, that you don't believe under the Donald Trump administration that's going to happen. If Biden becomes president, would it be more likely?
Well, if the Senate is Democratic, and if they overcome the filibuster, because otherwise you would need 60 votes, they're not going to have 60 Democrats. So if they decided to change the filibuster, then it could get through, and he would certainly sign it. But it'll never happen with a Republican Senate or a Republican president, because they know they're going to be giving two new senators to the Democratic Party, and they don't want to do that.
So is this taxation without representation concept, is that even constitutional? That's something I never understood. And as a history professor, let me ask you, how is that even possible? How is it possible that D.C. people pay federal taxes, yet there's no representation? That is something that was fought for in multiple wars, as I recall. But how can it still exist in the year 2020?
Well, remember, a lot of people who live in D.C. work for the federal government, and they have to pay taxes. But even those who don't, everybody has to pay federal taxes unless you have enough deductions that you don't have to. And usually the very wealthy have ways to get around it and pay no taxes, like Jeff Bezos. It's amazing to me. You know, some of the most wealthy people do get away with it, but the average person certainly does, yeah.
Well, we know what a fan you are of Amazon and of Walmart, so...
I like the Washington Post, he owns, but I'm not a big fan. And I do use Amazon, but Jeff Bezos simply has too much, and he's too greedy, and so is Zuckerberg. I'm really annoyed at Zuckerberg and Facebook, too. It's ridiculous
Bezos lacks in hair, he certainly makes up for in dollars, doesn't he? We are speaking with Dr. Ronald L. Fineman on a fine mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, Adam Lepp, at the microphone, and Ron on the phone with us. Talking about politics, current events, the Donald, and whatever else we can get our hands dirty with. The Korean War, you know, that's another interesting tidbit of American history, Ron. I don't claim to be knowledgeable about history, especially from that period as it was before I was born, although not much before I was born. Most people think of the Korean War as the TV show MASH. I was never a big watcher of MASH, but my parents watched it, and it's certainly part of American culture, so... I think more people know more about MASH, which lasted longer than the Korean War, than they actually do about the war itself. On June 25th, almost a week ago, it was the midpoint.
On the exact anniversary, 70 years ago.
Right, yep. The midpoint of last Christmas and this Christmas. Christmas will certainly be interesting. I wonder if Santa delivering gifts will be compatible with the social distancing. Will he have to throw the gifts from 6 feet? Will he have to... You know, go only 6 feet. You know, go 6 feet from the fireplace down the chimney and throw the gifts on the table. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but I guess we'll find out.
Thanksgiving in New York. Oh my God, so many things that have been canceled. Although now baseball's coming back with 60 games supposedly starting July 23rd. I don't know if it's going to work, but they seem to be starting. But so many things have been damaged. Although the hot dog eating contest in New York is going on the 4th of July, by the way.
So you do write again on that Christmas point midpoint day, June 25th, 70 years ago, the Korean War began as communist North Korea invaded the Republic of South Korea. Of course, we've also talked about Kim Jong-un and his friendship with Donald J. Trump. So
love
Korea,
affair, as Trump calls,
has certainly been in the news for quite a bit. Now, people, Ron, have said the Vietnam War was an illegal war, and you're writing that the Korean War was also an illegal war. I guess it depends how you look at it, or you could say all war is illegal because you have no reason killing people in another country. You wrote... some have argued that the Korean War was an illegal war and that it started the abuse of power of presidents in sending troops overseas in foreign conflicts, including the Vietnam War, the Persian Gulf War, Afghanistan War, Iraq War, and many other interventions. The Korean conflict, which seems as a more appropriate name since it was not a declared war, went on until the armistice of July 27th of 53 with 33,000 Americans who lost their lives. Every American president has been dogged by the problem of the Korean Peninsula, but now even Donald Trump has been bested by the North Korean dictatorship, and it seemed likely that Kim Jong-un could be a threat, not only to South Korea, but to Japan and to American territories in Guam, Hawaii, and the entire Pacific coast of the United States. So right about Joe Biden, if he becomes the next president, he'll face the daunting task of hopefully preventing a new war, whether nuclear or conventional.
How he's high? A massive number of things to deal with. Unbelievable.
Right. How high on his priority list would this be?
The memorial, I must say.
To President Biden, if he becomes President Biden, would the coronavirus be a top issue? Would the racism?
Everything, and the economy, and North Korea, and how to deal with Putin. I mean, he's going to have so many things on his plate. He's going to be in it because, you know, of course, a good virus can handle things. And that's why I would argue Susan Rice to someone to pay. She knows foreign policy like nobody else in the race for vice president knows. She's never been elected. She's only been appointed as national security advisor and U.N. ambassador. And I think this is important. Maybe Susan Rice should be the actual running mate with
so
Joe
bottom
Biden.
Line is, if Biden becomes our 46th president, he's going to have a pretty busy agenda. He won't be getting a lot. He better buy.
I said God willing. Do you notice I put that in there? I brought in religion.
Stock up on the coffee because he will be busy for quite a while.
And I think he'll be very alert because he'll never be able to sleep. He'll be so busy with so many headaches. You know? Although every president has it, but I think he's going to have a massive number of things to deal with, more than most presidents have had.
Now, there has been so much controversy, not just these statues, but of renaming products. John Wayne, people are now finding that he is an objectionable person and that they don't want schools named after him. And, you know, John Wayne was far from a perfect person. But should we go ahead and erase?
Everybody's far from perfect. That's the problem. You can't go and eliminate everybody because they did some bad or said some bad things. I do think the Confederate issue is different than others. When I hear this talk of trying to get rid of statues of Jefferson and Washington because they were slave owners, or Theodore Roosevelt in the Museum of Natural History, they have a statue there seen as objectionable, and also Ulysses S. Grant because he owns one slave through his wife and then freedom. I think that's going a little overboard. That's going too far. But the Confederate, I could see that. I could see the ones who actually were committing treason against the U.S. I could see those coming down. But how are we going to deal with Stone Mountain? You're not going to get rid of Stone Mountain.
I would think that anything prior, you know, to a generation or two ago is going to be found objectionable. And we've talked about baseball players. Ty Cobb, he was a pretty objectionable person, but I still respect him greatly for what he did on the field. I know he wasn't a perfect person, and be assured, Pete Rose wasn't a perfect person, but I idolized the guy.
Yeah, I want to point out that even recent presidents like Truman and LBJ, if you look at their background, they were very racist early in their lives, and then they transformed. So if you want to say they transformed, that's good, but others might say, well, they were once saying the N-word and things like that. You know, so, I mean, how far do you go back? I mean, people make mistakes or they do things that are terrible, but you don't go and wipe out every statue and memorial for everybody except for people who committed treason. I could see that as a reason, but not otherwise.
And some of this has gotten, again, comical and ridiculous. Eskimo pies, that they're going to change the name. Now, do you agree with me that Eskimo pie is not objectionable? Eskimo is not objectionable. We are actually celebrating the great state of Alaska. It's offensive to change it. And yes, I get offended by people's getting offended. It is absolutely out of hand. Would you be in accord with me on that, or do you think that Eskimo pie, like Aunt Jemima pancake syrup and Uncle Ben's rice,
silly, but I guess maybe people would say, well, I mean, they're pie.
Yeah, so the whole, it's getting ridiculous. And
that's a bad idea.
That's kind of the problem with this so-called political correctness. Some of it may be okay, but you open up the can of worms and it gets worse and worse and worse, and it's beyond comical. You're erasing the history of this country. You are interfering with brand names and what people want to use. And we're not dismissing the previous issues in this country or the current issues, but we're not really focusing in the right place.
I teach a class at Florida Atlantic University on the presidency, And, of course, I talk about the good and the bad of each president, so I don't deny Jefferson was a slave owner, Washington was a slave owner, Andrew Jackson, and I'm quite critical, but I also point out their contributions, and I think that's the case with everybody, because even a Lyndon Johnson or a Harry Truman, we may see them in a better light because they pushed civil rights, but actually, background, they were not that way before. So, I mean, again, everybody has their pluses and minuses. We're all imperfect. But I think, you know, I don't think any of these people should be seen as if they're Adolf Hitler, a mass murderer, although Jackson, some people would say, could be because of the forced remove of Indians, but, you know, to the, you know, out to Oklahoma. But I always just make sure that both sides are shown, not just, you know, make them wonderful, but point out the bad side as well.
I would certainly say that comparing these Confederate figures in history and some people in the entertainment business who might be considered objectionable, comparing them to Hitler is absolutely ridiculous and very insulting. We're not talking about the same type of person. Hitler murdered millions of people. He brainwashed an entire country. That's not the same as what happened during the Confederacy and the Civil War. Not saying that people like Robert E. Lee are saints, but they are important parts of history. And it is an apples, a very apples to oranges comparison, and I'm personally very insulted that people make that comparison. And I think we need to.
Well, apparently, though, in Richmond, Monument Row is going to be changed completely because of all those Confederate heroes there, including Stonewall Jackson and also Jefferson Davis, along with Robert E. Lee. So it will not be the same. But it doesn't mean, even if that's done, you don't destroy, as some of these mobs are trying to do in some places. You put them in museums. You know, you don't just destroy monuments or statues, but you might remove them where they are. But some people are going overboard. There's no question about it.
So
it's not good because it makes. Makes people really care about these issues. You know, it undermines their ability to get things done properly because you have extremism, and I don't like that.
So we can pretty much be in accord that this has gone way overboard and is continuing to do so, and it's very frustrating, and we just have to go ahead and swallow a couple times, take a couple deep breaths, and move on. And differences in opinion, freedom of speech, or two of the things that make this country great. But I don't like what some of these people are doing and what opinions they are spewing forth. And maybe they should pick up a history book, because I don't think that they have. And that comes from me.
Well, they need to take a course with me.
Yeah, well, maybe that would be a smart idea. I mean, coming from me, I'm hardly the historical scholar, but I certainly know what's appropriate and what isn't. Also, when there's vandalism, people here in Columbus vandalizing the Christopher
terrible.
Columbus statues, even if you don't want the statue, even if they're going to take it down, you have no business vandalizing it. Being rather hypocritical, you are saying that these statues are people that damaged property or other people, and what are you doing? You're damaging a statue. Hypocrisy is pretty...
Yeah, I must also say in Seattle they have this occupied area by a group of radicals, and they're talking about they're going to have to end it. There's going to be trouble there with the police trying to end it, but that is crazy. You can't capture part of a police station or part of the city government area and just say you're going to keep on holding on to it. That is not that makes all the ethics and morale, I think, on an issue just disgraceful because they're distorting it and it's not right, you know. So it's going to be trouble in Seattle, I think.
I would certainly agree. You probably heard, Ron, and you and I have talked about it, Joe Biden has said that if he becomes president, he will use his power as president to require the wearing of masks in the United States. I believe that statement has cost him the election. It's cost him my vote, unless something very unusual and drastic happens. Your own opinion aside, do you believe that it was wise for him to say that? Do you think that the number of votes he would gain by saying that will outweigh the number of votes that he will lose?
I think it all depends on what happens with this pandemic in the next 4 months, 6 months till he gets in. You know, I do think people should be wearing masks. And, I must say in Palm Beach County here, we have Palm Beach County Commission mandate masks in public, of course. That's not in your own home. Mandate, and there's going to be fines. And there was 10 people who showed up that they showed on a video. 9 of them happened to be women. It just happened to be, and one was a man. Some were minorities, some were whites, all ages. And they were saying that this is against God's will, which I think is crazy. And others said it's like communist Cuba. I think they really made fools of themselves, and they lost out on it anyway. So I do think it's important to wear masks to show respect for other people as well as yourself. As far as mandating it, well, I don't know how you can mandate it. Are you going to fine people? Are you going to arrest people? I don't know how it can be enforced. That I must admit,
yeah,
it is very hard.
Hard to enforce. Yeah. And even if, as you probably know, I'm a non-mask person, and I speak as someone who knows quite a bit about particle science and statistics and all that fun, geeky stuff. Masks don't work. They may work 20% to 30% for outgoing, but it's a false sense of security in that people think, oh, I'm wearing a mask. Other people are wearing masks, so I'll be safe. Well, it's not quite that way. But even if I believe that masks did work, even if they worked 100%, I would not be in favor of a mandatory mask wearing and very offended by someone, a potential president who would say that. I've been against mandatory seatbelts since that law came into play in the 80s. I agree you should wear seatbelts. I wear mine, but I don't think it should be mandated. I'm also against no smoking laws. If you don't like the smoking policy of a business, you can choose to take your business elsewhere. That doesn't mean that I think people should smoke. It means that it's a right you have as an American. I also don't think that we should require people to go to the gym, even though I'm obviously addicted to the gym and have gotten more so. I don't think we should require people to eat their vegetables and not be overweight, take care of their high blood pressure. That's the right you have as an American. If you want to have an unhealthy lifestyle, that is your business. Now, I understand when you're not wearing your seatbelt, it can affect other drivers. But just driving your car affects other drivers. And I don't think that it's the same as saying that driving drunk or under the influence of drugs or texting and driving, those things are bad. Those things should be illegal, as they are, and punishable rather strictly by law. That's not the same thing as far as I see it. So just to clarify that. So that's kind of how I am as someone who believes in individual liberties. Lines are drawn. But Joe Biden saying that as a president, he would invoke his powers to require mask wearing. He lost my vote, and I believe that he lost enough votes that he's not going to win the election. That's going to come up.
Well, right now he's ahead, even in Ohio, by 1 point or 2 points. No. And, you know, he's way ahead in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, 9 points in Florida. I know it's 4 months, and everybody's been joking about President Dukakis was way ahead of George W. Bush right. in 1988. And I later met Michael Dukakis at FAU, so he's a real nice guy. But, you know, but that I do think it's going to be in the case of Trump's record. Don't forget, Bush was running to be president. He was running on Reagan deals. But in the case of Trump, his record, I think, is enough that I don't think he can overcome. Because now with this new issue about what people are calling treason, that he says he doesn't know anything, and he hasn't said he's going to do anything about what Putin did with apparently trying to pay Taliban fighters to kill U.S. and U.K. soldiers in Afghanistan. I think that's a real scandal in the making that's going to make things even harder on him. Plus, Mary Trump, his niece, is coming out with a book about how horrible the whole family was. And these things are not good things for him. So I'm not sure what Biden says, even if it upsets you or some others, is going to be enough to turn things around. There's so many negatives against Trump right now.
I mean, if there's a Biden-Harris ticket, which is what I think there will be, Harris's comments about ICE and her general stand on illegal immigration, which I'd rather call breaking into the country, because even calling it immigration to me, I think, is an insult, including to yourself and myself, as we are second generation removed from legal immigrants. So I would instead say that she seems to believe that we should decriminalize breaking into the country, and that ICE, she feels, is a highly racist organization. And you know what I think about that. The thing is,
well, you know, one thing I realize that those people have been detained are not in government facilities, they're in private facilities that make profit, like a for-profit prison. I didn't realize that until recently, that ICE, most of their facilities are for-profit. They're not even government.
Well, bottom line is those Homo sapiens shouldn't have broken into the country.
I don't believe in for-profit.
And they shouldn't have taken children with them. That's not how we do things in this country. You are welcome to immigrate. We are a country of immigrants. As I mentioned, I'm two generations from immigrants, and I believe Ron is about the same. But you do it legally, and there's reasons why we have that. And I'm very insulted as an American when Kamala Harris said that ICE is like the KKK And she is known as being in favor of decriminalization or outright legalization of what's known as illegal immigration, or again, what I call breaking into the country. And I have a serious problem with that. Plus that one comment. I know Donald Trump says a lot of stupid things, too. I want to mention that. But she, if you say that before you're president, who knows what she could say before she becomes vice president or president. And with
Joe
Biden,
I think whoever's vice president. And with Biden, who ends up in the White House eventually.
Exactly.
Maybe
and,
not in this
exactly.
Term,
and that makes it even more important that VP is likely to become a president because I'm concerned about Biden's mortality or just his desire to serve 4 years because he obviously has some mental lapses, which will only increase as he ages. And if he does enter the very stressful office of President of the United States of America. And Biden's comment, another one of his stupid comments and other stupid things he said, like telling the man with the wheelchair.
Things, but when you're in the
right.
office or in public life, you have to be careful what you
right.
say, yes.
Like telling the man who used a wheelchair to stand up. We can giggle about that stuff. It was
That's
silly.
That's funny, though.
Right, and even the hair smelling. I don't care. He can smell my hair all day if he wants to. That doesn't really bother me. But saying that he would use his presidential powers to require masks, that's fascism, that's dictatorship, whatever you want to call it. I'm thraldom is a word that I looked up, which I think might even be appropriate. I'm highly offended by that, and unless I see some improvement in what comes out of his mouth, he's lost my vote, which is kind of a shame. Last election, I had a candidate, Hillary, that I really liked. Didn't really like Kane, but wasn't that concerned about him. Unfortunately, my choice didn't win, but this time it looks like we'll have the usual scenario, which is a choice between the lesser of two evils. And that's kind of how politics
goes. Well, that often is the case. Do we have time to discuss one more thing, or we don't?
Yes, if we do it quickly, yes.
Okay. In Florida, there's a town in Broward County called Plantation. They're talking about changing the name, and I've always known that name is weird to live in Plantation, Florida. I'm curious what you think about that.
Well, I think it's ridiculous. Just like the realtors in Texas don't use the term master bedroom, they use now primary bedroom. Give me a break. That's about all
I
can
that.
Say. I'm not in favor of that. Master can be denoted, have a connotation as being related to slavery, but you could pretty much say that with any word. You could find a connotation which is less than favorable, and that's just completely ridiculous. And plantation, kind of the same thing, but that's kind of what things are coming to right now. It's comical, but it's also very sad. Well, Dr. Ron Fineman, thank you again for joining us on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor.
Thank you very much.
Another interesting week since we last talked.
4th of July is coming up on the weekend, yes.
Yes, and since we'll talk again, I'm sure there will be more interesting and controversial events to talk about. Again, we do invite you to listen to Ron's appearances on Blog Talk Radio. Look up Here Be Monsters. And, of course, visit his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, and be sure to like...
And also historynewsnetwork.org under my name, Ronald L. Fineman.
And be sure to like his Facebook page, The Progressive Professor. Thanks, Ron. Have a great rest of your day, and we invite all of my listeners to send me an email on, of course, my private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com.